It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio on one of the most important days in our nation's history. Stay with us.
Clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
So much to talk about. Where are we some 17 years after the terror attack that finally opened our eyes to what we were dealing with on the global stage? We will talk with Robert Spencer before we're done. I also want to discuss the issue of other 9-11s, and Carol Markowitz is here.
Binge thinking.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing a role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
This morning, I was pleased to see that the president and Mrs. Trump made their way to the very serene pastures of Pennsylvania now, as just past Shanksville, of course, the new memorial, the Wind Chime Memorial at the 9/11 display there is open as of 2 days ago. And the president making some very appropriate and somber and sober remarks. There was also a bit of a flurry on Twitter today because he decided to tweet something that was, I thought, just, you know, very efficient in its wording. But others decided to have some fun at his expense. He tweeted out 17 years since September 11th. And the three networks covered it like this. CNN had a headline, Fat Check. It was actually 1 year since 9/11. MSNBC, is Trump's 9/11 tweet a clue about Russian collusion? Fox News, President Trump tweets moving tribute to 9/11. Okay, these are all fake, but that's how they would have done it if they were doing headlines. And that's kind of the point, isn't it? That's kind of the point of where we're at as a culture and as a society. The truth is no longer actually what is sought. It is what I can use to prop up my viewpoint. It is what I can do to make sure that my side of the argument is the one that prevails. And I'm tired of that. But I'm tired of it, especially when absolute absurdity begins to take on part of the discussion. Like today, MSNBC anchor Joe Scarborough, when he made claims this morning on his Morning Joe show on MSNBC, that he tweeted, Trump is damaging the dream of America more than any terrorist attack ever could. Now, he did that to promote a sad little column that he wrote for the Washington Post yesterday. And we know what that signifies. He was trying to make his statement about his belief that this president is doing incredible damage to the dream of the American people and of the American experience. Here's some of what he wrote. 16 years of strategic missteps have been followed by the maniacal moves of a man who has savaged America's vital alliances. Not true. Provided comfort to hostile foreign powers. Definitively not true. Attacked our intelligence and military communities. Also not true on both parts. Lent a sympathetic ear to neo-Nazis and white supremacists across the globe. Patently false. For those of us still believing that Islamic extremists hate America because of the freedoms we guarantee to all people, the gravest threat Trump poses to our national security is the damage done daily to America's image. Joe Scarborough thinks he's a really witty op-ed writer. But friends, nothing in that list is true. The president has not savaged America's vital alliances. You know who savaged the alliances? The man who went and bowed to people instead of demanding that they pay their share. He's gone to NATO and he said, hey, pay your share. Your GDP, your national defense, we're footing the bill. Just play even, play fair. Do what you agreed to do, at least, bare minimum. He hasn't savaged our alliances. Our alliances are stronger than they've ever been. Israel stands with us. Great Britain stands with us. NATO stands with us. You can't really point, oh, he hurt some liberals' feelings in Canada. Oh, so sorry, Oh, it's so bad. If Islamists attacked Canada tomorrow, President Trump would be the first man to pick up the phone and say, what do you need? We are here to help. So he didn't savage our alliances. He hasn't provided comfort to hostile foreign powers. He's trying to get a peace deal with North Korea. But what that really is a veiled allusion to Russia. That's what Scarborough's really saying there. Oh, he's coddling Putin. Well, if that was the case, why does Russia hate the policies under Trump more than any other president in the modern era since the fall of the Berlin Wall? Why do they hate these policies and everything that this president has done the most? He's moved more missiles near their border. He has defied their wishes as it comes to all kinds of national defense things. Nobody ever mentions this. Nobody ever gets into it because everybody wants to believe the great hoax. But he and Putin are not on friendly terms with each other. He's a deal maker. He's trying to negotiate well. But he's told Putin, we're not going to let you have Iraq and Syria to do with as you please. And he's warned them when they've gotten too close to us, don't do that. He didn't attack our intelligence and military communities either. That's just a patent lie. Joe Scarborough is a liar. He was asked if he believed Putin, and somehow because he relayed what Putin had said in the meeting and said, I don't have any reason to not believe him, that means that he's attacking our intelligence communities. Our intelligence and military communities don't believe that he's attacking them. And if you believe that they believe that, I would recommend you go introduce yourself to some people in the military. He didn't lend a sympathetic ear to neo-Nazis. He's not a white supremacist, and he doesn't party with them. He does believe that Islamic extremism is a danger. And that's why he's guarding America's image. That's why he's fiercely on defense when it comes to America's well-being. It's not because he thinks that he can go slum it with white supremacists and these types of outer fringe people that may or may not have supported him. Hey, do you really want to see all the people that supported the past president? There were some really dirty, ugly people in on his side, too. They can't control who supports him. But there's nothing that is white supremacist about his policy. And Joe Scarborough saying that Al-Qaeda and the attack of 9/11 does less to hurt America than the words and the policies of our president is utterly shameful. Joe Scarborough needs to spend some time off the air, I think. I think he needs to go get his mind straight. Because if he actually believes this, he's truly deluded. Kevin McCullough, when we come back, she writes for the New York Post. We'll get her thoughts on today and a little bit of what she's been thinking about with the Kavanaugh hearings over the last week. Kevin McCullough, it's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We have troubles in Queens this evening on the Grand Central traveling westbound. We're jammed up into the Clearview and Francis Lewis Boulevard. That's all because of an accident being cleared, one lane out of service. Eastbound's actually not that bad, just a little bit slow. Jewel Avenue into the Kew Gardens interchange. LI East slow on the eastbound side, Queens Boulevard out towards the Van Wyck. Westbound slow is coming out of Nassau County out towards the Clearview Expressway. And a little bit slow here on the Cross Island southbound coming into the LIE. Whitestone and Throgs Neck Bridge in pretty good shape. Westbound Cross Bronx slows from the Bronx River Parkway to the George Washington Bridge. Eastbound heavy off the bridge, right out towards Webster Avenue. We still have a two-folded problem in the Bronx on the southbound side of the Deegan. As you go south in the Yankee Stadium, that's problem number one. It's an accident being cleared, left lane out of service. Then if you're trying to transition off at Willis Avenue, the right lane of that off-ramp is blocked. That is because of emergency construction work. Taking a look at your ride across the Hudson River, outbound Holland Tunnel, 30 minutes, 10 minutes on the city-bound side. Lincoln Tunnel, about 15 to 20 on both sides of the river. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
We understand that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center.
There's a second plane just crashed into the World Trade Center.
There is smoke pouring out of the Pentagon.
A hijacked plane crashed in Pennsylvania this morning.
The wounds have healed, but the memories are still there.
On September the 11th, enemies of freedom committed an act of war against our country.
Today, we salute the innocent victims and first responders who were killed in senseless acts of terrorism. We will never forget. AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Phil Van Horn here for Blue Rock Energy. It never hurts to explore your options, and at Blue Rock, there's a lot to explore, like fixed, variable, and blended energy rate plans for your business, a full range of services to help reduce energy consumption, and a level of predictability that your local utility can't match. Plus, our energy advisors are there every step of the way, so whatever choice you make, you know it's the right one. Visit BlueRockEnergy.com today and learn how to get a free on-site assessment.
New York City Radio and Joe Piscopo are proud to announce the Greater New York Chamber of Commerce Business Expo Friday, September 21st at the New York Hilton Midtown. Meet Joe at the 9 a.m. ribbon cutting, followed by a day of networking, educational conferences, and giveaways from hundreds of exhibitors, including the New York RX card, T-Mobile Salute to Heroes, the International Pavilion with Global New York, and a food tasting court with member chamber restaurants. For full details, call 212-CHAMBER or visit their website, chamber.nyc.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Today's salute to Staten Island's Fun Fact is brought to you by the Nicotra Group, owners of the Hilton Garden Inn and Lorenzo's Restaurant, Bar, and Cabaret, featuring the songs of Crosby, Still, Nash, and Young, coming up Friday, September 14th. And I want you to listen to my buddy Joe Piscopo tomorrow morning at 7:40 to answer the daily Staten Island trivia question. I'm going to give you that question in advance right now. Just hang on a second. You're going to get it. Then you'll have a head start on everybody else. Daily winners will get a $25 gift card from Modell Sporting Goods. Did you know there's three locations on Staten Island? And as everybody knows, you got to go to Moe's. All the daily winners will also be eligible to win a grand prize pair of tickets to attend the New Year's Eve gala at Nicotra's Ballroom and the Hilton Garden Inn, valued at more than $400. All right, so here's tomorrow morning's trivia question right now. Staten Island is the only place in the world where no vice presidents were born, but two of them died. Who were they? Again, Staten Island is the only place in the world where no vice presidents were born, but two of them died there. Who were they? Be listening when Joe Piscopo calls for your chance to win tomorrow morning at 7:40 and have the answer in hand. That's Joe Piscopo tomorrow morning, 7:40, for your Staten Island Fun Fact.
AM 970, The Answer. McCullough says she is the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite for 4 years running. The amazing mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
On September 11th, 2001, a band of brave patriots turned the tide on our nation's enemies and joined the immortal ranks of American heroes.
That is exactly what happened in that pasture just outside of that small town in Pennsylvania. And we continue to commemorate 17 years later America's greatest hit ever on American soil and the loss that we have endured that took more lives even as time went by. It's very interesting. That was the president's very somber statement today. Joe Scarborough of MSNBC said in this morning's Washington Post that that man is damaging the dream of America more than 9/11 ever could. Very weird time to write such an op-ed, and a very weird thing to say, but that's the way we go these days. Calvin McCullough, glad you're with us. Carol Markowitz doesn't go that way. She always tells you the truth. And I find that more times than not, she is also extremely kind in telling that truth. And she rejoins us. Hello, Carol.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Your thoughts on 17 years ago today?
You know, hearing comments like that, like Trump is worse for the country than 9/11, it's just so insulting to the memory of 3,000 people who went to work that morning or were on flights that morning and were killed just living their everyday lives. The idea that, you know, Trump is going to have more lasting damage to America than an attack on our soil that none of us have ever really fully recovered from is just absurd and just insulting to Americans, to all of us who survive and uphold their memories.
Yeah. Where were you on that morning?
I was on my way to work. I had just moved, and I went to try to go vote because it was election day in
New
York City.
That's right. I forgot about
that. And I wasn't sure where to go. And I worked at the time, I was a paralegal at the top of the Chrysler Building. And so when I got to work, we were already evacuated. And, you know, there was all this misinformation that more planes were coming. And it was a really sad, terrifying day. And I actually spent the next few days with my now husband. We lived in the same building, and I didn't have a TV, so I watched it over and over again at his place. And, you know, just 10 years later, we decided to get married.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. 9/11 has been a crossroads for a lot of people. I had been given my very first talk show in the Chicago market the day before the attacks. And so that day I spent on my second day on the job, something like 12 hours on air, just anchoring coverage for that station that day. But it was it's something that we'll never forget. And I second everything you said about Scarborough's comments. I think that those are repulsive. And I think that, you know, you can really strongly dislike George W. Bush. A lot of people do. I don't happen to share that dislike when it comes to how he handled 9/11. I think that we had amazing leadership that day. And I think that one of the things that the world's kind of, I don't know, kind of like one of the things they don't necessarily like about Trump is that I think that he would handle such a crisis very similarly, actually. I think you would have amazing response and leadership to the national crisis. Whatever else you think of his policies or his domestic issues or his tweets or his you know, anything else, I think a sign of a strong American president is someone that looks these types of really big evil issues in the face and says, "I will not blink. You will not get the better of us." And George W.
We
Bush.
We never have to find out.
Yeah, I pray that too. Although, we were on a path to probably heading that direction for the last 8 years, and that was a huge concern, I think, to a lot of voters. Hey, speaking of winning elections, one of the things that you get to do when you win elections is pick your Supreme Court nominees. And last week, Carol, you weren't with us. In fact, you've been away a couple of weeks, but the ruckus circus that was the confirmation hearing of Brett Kavanaugh, you've responded to, and I wanted to give you a chance to kind of promote what you wrote in the New York Post yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hearings have been such a showboating event that it's disappointing to see that this is where we are in our within our politics right now, because it's so obvious to onlookers that all of the showboating and all of the outbursts are really just for political gain. And it is disappointing to watch our elected officials behave in this manner.
Kamala Harris, though, you say that there's this kind of false narrative that's being put forward in terms of who she is and what she's about. Define what you mean.
Well, In my piece this week, it's about how the idea that women are put upon or living these like difficult lives. I really challenge that idea in the piece, and you know, the focus on how women will die if Kavanaugh, you know, takes a seat is just it's all absurd and obviously ratcheted up to have the maximum impact on donations to Kamala Harris's future presidential campaign.
Right, right.
But in my piece, I really focus on the fact that it's far easier to be a woman in America right now than it is to be a man. And the evidence I give is on a lot of different ways. Men die earlier. Men have the harder jobs, the more deadlier jobs. More men are homeless, et cetera, et cetera. And the idea that, like, women live this difficult, put upon life in America is just false. Yeah. And it's really...
Did you kind of feel like that was indicative of that the Serena outburst in the finals at the U.S. Open this weekend kind of also illustrated that? She was complaining about, you find me for these three things, but men do far worse all the time. And you're doing this to me because I'm a woman, when actually the beneficiary of all of those penalties was another woman of color standing on the other side of the tennis court.
You know, I'm not a big tennis fan, so I don't know if men do get the same treatment. I mean, from what I've read, they do. But the excuse of the victimhood, this is happening to me because I'm a woman, is something I really would like to see exit our public discourse. It's like women are not this weak group of a population that just can't handle anything up for themselves, can't stand up for themselves, can't, everything bad that happens to us is because we're women. And I think that's just, it's absurd, especially.
Well, it's interesting that Senator Harris would want to try to make that case and then also say, but elect me as the leader of the free world. Because if you've been a victim and you've never been able to get anything done that you wanted to get done, why would you be trusted with leading the free world? It's kind of a, I don't know, no win scenario.
I hope
there.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, hey, there we got a vote.
You mentioned
voting. They moved it this year because today would have been election day. So get out and vote 2 days from now. I know Carol Markowitz will be reader in the Post. Carol, always good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Her post, her article is called "Feminist Denial on All the Ways Women Have It Better." Read it in the New York Post. Kevin McCullough coming right back.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have cloudy skies with lots of fog around. It's 74 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. Well, parts of the West Side Highway continue to be closed at this hour near the Javits Center expansion site. The roadway was closed after two beams fell from a construction site about 10 o'clock this morning. The Department of Building Inspectors said a crane was hoisting a beam when it knocked over a second upright beam, causing both beams to lean into a sidewalk shed. City officials say contractors at the site will be using a second crane to transfer and remove the beams. At this time, the West Side Highway, 12th Avenue, is closed in both directions from 34th Street to 42nd Street. 17 years after the September 11th attacks, the death toll continues to rise. Here's Lisa G with more.
Dr. Michael Caine, medical director of the World Trade Center Health Program at Mount Sinai, told the Journal News soon more people will have died from diseases caused by toxic exposure at Ground Zero than on September 11, 2001. Nearly 10,000 first responders and others who were at the World Trade Center have been diagnosed with cancer, and more than 2,000 have so far died from 9/11 illnesses. Dr. Caine says it takes years, sometimes decades, for cancers to develop. Also, the rate of some cancers among first responders is up 30% higher than the general population. Lisa G., NBC News Radio, New York.
In sports, Yankees take on the Twins in Minnesota. Mets host the Miami Marlins. Taking a look at the traffic, outbound side of the Holland Tunnel, we're looking at about a 20 to 30 minute delay, 10 minutes on the city-bound side. Looks like the Lincoln Tunnel about 15 in either direction, but keep in mind the 12th Avenue approach to the Lincoln Tunnel is closed. That is because of the activity at the Javits Center and George Washington Bridge. That's a pretty good ride for you. Mostly cloudy skies tonight. Scattered showers around. Overnight low 71. Cloudy, chance of a shower tomorrow. High 82. Cloudy skies Thursday. High 79. Cloudy yet again on Friday. High 78. And the weekend forecast depends on Hurricane Florence. But as of now, both Saturday and Sunday look like partly sunny days. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Hey, listen, Landmark Capital, my tremendous sponsor, is back at it again. They are offering you a very special gold coin as part of a huge drawing this fall, and I hope that you'll sign up and register and participate now. Back in 1915, the value of money and the value of an ounce of gold was quite different than today. Back then, a loaf of bread cost 7 cents, a gallon of gas was 15 cents, the average home cost $3,200. Woodrow Wilson coined the phrase, "Happy days are here again." Well, now President Trump is committed to making America great again, and opening trade certainly does that. One major example of this was the building of the Panama Canal. The canal was celebrated in the United States in 1915 at the Panama Pacific International Exposition World's Fair held in San Francisco. In making America great, it connected East and West and brought together the economic powerhouses of the world. Well, now we would like to commemorate that coming together of trade being expanded, just like the president is trying to expand trade, and award you a 1915 St. Gaudens gold coin, $20 1 ounce gold coin worth nearly $2,000 today. It was minted in San Francisco, so it replicates that history and celebrates the expansion of making America great again. For your chance to win, go to am970theanswer.com and register. We'll draw the winner on December 9th and announce on December the 10th. That's am970theanswer.com. Lois and Richard Nicotra have been cornerstones of the Staten Island community for more than 40 years. They're owners of the fabulous Hilton Garden Inn, Nicotra's Ballroom, Lorenzo's Restaurant, Bar and Cabaret, and Above, a rooftop event space. Whatever your occasion, the Nicotras can accommodate private events from 20 to 1,000 guests and everything in between. Not only is it the perfect place to have a party, but Lois and Richard love cabaret so much they created one 15 years ago. Plan to visit Lorenzo's Cabaret on Friday, September the 14th for the show CSN Songs, an evening celebrating the music of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Relive Woodstock classics and come see our very own Joe Piscopo performing at Lorenzo's on March 22nd. Make your reservations today. Call 718-477-2400 extension 5. That's 718-477-2400 extension 5 or book online at lorenzosdining.com. Watch for the Nicotra Group's newest project in the Corporate Park of Staten Island, opening in fall 2019. Corporate Commons 3 will have 330,000 square feet of prime commercial office space, an organic rooftop farm and vineyard, a social enterprise restaurant where 100% of the profits go to charity, more than 200 tenant companies, and over 25 medical practices. Now leasing. Outsmart Manhattan, the Nicotra way.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at am970theanswer.com.
Continuing coverage of Decision 2018. Unparalleled access to assist you in the most important midterm elections of your lifetime. Exclusively at Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. This somber, sober day continues, and grateful for those of you that have taken the time to remember today. It's a difficult day to remember. It's one of those days where I think we would all love it to no longer be part of our memory, but I am afraid that if we do not, then we will forget the lessons that we were to learn from there. And it's almost daily, definitely weekly, that I refer to something from the 9/11 era as something that we, you know, needed to learn in some of the interviews that we do, because as we are fighting terrorism, as we are doing those things that we hope will protect us in the future, we have to learn some of those lessons again and again. Because on 9/11/2001, it wasn't the first time the terrorists had tried. They had been sending messages and trying to do something like that for some time. The first World Trade Center attack, the bombing of the embassies and the towers and everything else that predicated that. These were all run-ups, but it was under a declared fatwa. It was under a declaration of war by Osama bin Laden. He had already been saying, we are at war with you, whether we were at war with him or not. So fast forward to September 11th, 2012, when I have to believe that on that date, Sunni forces sympathetic to bin Laden and al-Qaeda purposely decided to launch an attack against our consulate, kill our ambassador, drag his body through the streets, kill three other honorable men who served their country well. And at the end of all of it, you've got this very bizarre explanation and accountability for what went down. Now, people have made a big deal, especially in recent days, that in the Benghazi investigations in the Congress, there were no criminal guilt findings. Okay, Congress doesn't investigate criminality. That's something that the civil courts do. But I don't think that you can look at Benghazi and say it was anything other than a complete victory for the terrorists. And in any way that we try to say we did a good job there, we would be lying. Our men were abandoned. Abandoned and had to defend themselves for extended numbers of hours with almost nothing by way of sufficient defenses to do so. We know that when the fighting broke out at the consulate, some of those who would end up giving their lives begged the commanding officer, let's go over there. Let's go get these guys. Let's take down the threat and save our people. And not once, but three times from Washington, D.C. came the stand down order. Don't go. Don't go. Don't go. They finally violated that protocol and said, no, Americans are in trouble. We're going to go save them. We know that because that extended the fight for such a long time that the terrorists were able to recoil and recalibrate for a second attack. We know that Hillary Clinton told the number two in Libya that she would get back to them within the hour. They're still waiting for that phone call. We know that that those that were there radioed for help, begged for air support, did everything they could to try to find a way to leverage the odds against an outnumbered force. And we know that even though there were planes within distance, that had they been sent at the beginning, they would have been there in time to have made a difference in the second fight. These are all facts. You know what we don't know? We don't know where Obama was during any of it. And we don't know why Hillary Clinton lied to the parents when the bodies came home. But we're not going to forget that 9/11 either. I'm Kevin McCullough. Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law and wondered what's the best course of action to take? During Kevin McCullough Radio, you'll hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law, answering a real listener's actual question. If you have a legal question for Mike Connors, the Ask the Lawyer host, simply email the question to mikeconnors@gmail.com or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500. That's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors every Saturday evening at 6 on AM 970, The Answer. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, nobody knows more about sleep than my good friend Mike Lindell at MyPillow. And you know his pillows are fantastic, but I got to tell you about something else that's equally incredible. When we were about to have ankle biter number 3, my little baby Charlotte, he gave us the MyPillow bed topper. And it radically changed the way my wife experienced that pregnancy. In fact, it kept her in comfort, and we have never been without it since. In fact, even just this morning, I nestled back down in going, oh, this is the best bed topper I've ever felt on any bed ever. It's 3 layers that help give you the support you need, but it also helps evenly distribute your body weight and, most importantly, regulate your body temperature with its ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. The MyPillow mattress topper is the perfect upgrade to any bed you can imagine, and it comes with a 10-year warranty. You can wash it, and it's made in the USA, and it's backed by Mike's famous 60-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked. Check out the great deal that you're going to get, 30% off the mattress topper plus 2 free pillows when you call. Here's the number, 800-506-2641. Use promo code AM970 or go to MyPillow.com. Make sure you use the promo code AM970. That's 800-506-2641, promo code AM970.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the New York Army National Guard. Aired by the New York State Broadcasters Association and this station.
My name is Lauren Sullivan, and I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis 9 years ago. And I was severely disabled. And about 6 years ago, my mother had found Balance of Nature. So we decided to give it a try because at that point, nothing was helping. I was skeptical at first, But over time, I realized I had more energy levels. I was sleeping better, which was huge. And my hair looked better, my skin looked better, my nails looked better. And then I was able to weed off some of those medications. And I know had I not found Balance of Nature, I would not be living the quality of life that I am now.
When you call, use discount code THEANSWER. And we'll take 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies and have them shipped to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code THEANSWER.
This is Dan Proft with 60 Seconds of Sanity for upstream-ideas.com. Producing quality agitprop is a team effort, so it's nice to see the Democrat Socialists rally for the Obamas to help them consummate their $50 million Netflix production deal. The lineup really assembles itself. Cory Booker will star in a remake of Spartacus, only this time Spartacus is the wealthy senator, and he only thinks he's a slave. He runs around Capitol Hill yelling, "I am Spartacus," with no one else echoing the sentiment. Kamala Harris will play the lead in the spinoff How to Get Away with Murdering the Legal Canons. The Ripped from the Headlines season premiere will feature a bizarre temper tantrum masquerading as an interrogation of a SCOTUS nominee. Rahm Emanuel is scheduled to reprise the role of Abby Lee Miller from the Lifetime hit Dance Moms. The Emanuel version will be entitled Tiny Dancer Moms. Chris and Andrew Cuomo will play conjoined twins in the long-awaited sequel to Stuck on You. Other shows under consideration? Brian Williams as a bomb tech in a remake of The Hurt Locker. Rachel Maddow as Katie Lang in the biopic Crying. And Elizabeth Warren as Henry Fonda playing Tom Joad in a stirring interpretation of John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath. It's a lineup that's binge and purge worthy.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM970, theanswer.com.
Look around, how lucky we are to be alive right now. Look around, how lucky we are to be alive right now. History is happening in Manhattan, and we just happen to be in the greatest city in the world. In the greatest city in the world.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, as we've spent some time talking about today, you know, what happened 17 years ago today, and as I've already mentioned, what happened in 2012 on this day as well, have continued to project us along a path in something that became known as the global war on terrorism. And I don't know about you, but maybe there's some frustration as to where we're at in terms of what is going on globally. And I thought it would be a good time to have another discussion with Robert Spencer. He's the author of so many great books on the issue of terrorism. I can't recommend them all highly enough to you. So just get them all. Read all of them. The History of Jihad is his newest one, though, From Muhammad to ISIS. And Robert Spencer rejoins us. He's also the man behind the jihadwatch.org website, which is a must read for daily issues of terrorism. Robert, it's good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Always great to be here, Kevin. Thank you.
I don't think I've ever asked you, but where were you on 9/11?
I was actually at work at a job that I left not long after that because I started writing books about this and ended up doing this only. And I was about to start work, and actually I had just, in order to get through the workday, put on some music, an album by Bob Dylan called World Gone Wrong. And then minutes later, somebody came in and said that the plane had crashed into the towers. And I thought, well, I picked the right music for this morning.
Huh. What city were you working in? Were you in America? Where were we at?
Yeah, I was in New York.
Okay.
And I was not close to the attack, but close enough.
Yeah. Well, of course, I was in Chicago on that day, and yet it felt like it happened to all of us. And that was really due to technology, right? Because this was kind of integral in what Al-Qaeda did. They crashed the first plane really so that everybody would see the crash of the second plane, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They very skillfully planned the thing. There's no doubt that it was from a PR standpoint, in terms of maximizing the effect of striking terror in the hearts of the enemies of Allah, as the Quran directs, they did it perfectly.
Yeah. So let's fast forward 17 years later. And, you know, in many ways, New Yorkers will always have a very raw and tender spirit towards this day. But I think there's at least some desire in all of us to have said that we have learned something and we have mastered something and we have conquered something since then. You know, I was watching the old clip of President Bush earlier today where he said, I can hear you. The world can hear you. And pretty soon the man who those who knock these towers down will hear from all of us soon. And I thought, you know, that was such great kind of inspirational rhetoric for him to be standing on the pile of rubble and to be saying that. But what is the truth of where we've lived up to it or not, Robert Spencer?
Well, what's really astonishing about it, Kevin, is that all these years later, we're still fighting about who exactly we're fighting. And the people who there are people who hold to the same ideology as the people who took down the towers, who have very great influence and access in our government and in the media. It's astonishing. But you take right after 9/11, when George W. Bush went into the mosque and he said Islam is peace. He was standing with, among others, Abdurrahman al-Mahdi, who was later convicted of being a financier of al-Qaeda. And so the infiltration has been extraordinary, and it has led to a tremendous amount of confusion and disinformation about what exactly we're up against and what is the nature and magnitude of the jihad threat.
Has that changed any since the Trump administration has come to power?
Yes, it has. For one thing, Trump, of course, he repeatedly rebuked Obama and Clinton for not speaking about Islamic terrorism, radical Islamic terrorism, as he calls it. It's actually mainstream Islamic terrorism taught in the mainstream Islamic text. But I'll take what Trump says. That's closer than Obama and Bush got. And what he has not done, unfortunately, and this is probably due to so much resistance against him in the government, he has not overhauled the Obama-era counterterror policies, which don't deal with Islam and jihad at all and actually just pretend that it doesn't exist.
Well, and what significance would that be if he were to undo those policies?
Well, for one thing, it's forbidden in the United States government right now to equate Islam to have any connection between Islam and jihad with terrorism. And so what that amounts to in practice is that counterterror analysts in the FBI and other agencies are actually not able to study the motivating ideology behind the 9/11 attacks and other jihad terrorism. And so most agents are in the dark as to who these people are and what they are trying to accomplish.
So it sounds to me, though, then what you're saying is that we are as vulnerable as we were on September 10th.
To a tremendous degree, yes. I mean, there's no doubt that our law enforcement and intelligence agencies have accomplished a great deal, and we owe them a debt of gratitude. They have foiled many plots since 9/11. But on the ideological front, on meeting the challenge that the al-Qaeda group and the other jihadis presented to us on 9/11, we haven't even acknowledged that there's anything that we need to acknowledge there.
If we were to take a look at al-Qaeda and ISIS and the biggest players that we kind of associate with the names of the groups that we're aware of, particularly since January of 17, give us a grade on how we've done at dismantling or removing them, or are they just reorganizing and readying a comeback?
Yeah, there's no beating them in terms of destroying them utterly. Even if we were to destroy the organization known as al-Qaeda or ISIS, then jihadis would form another because they believe themselves to be fighting a 1,400-year struggle.
Gotcha.
But there's no doubt, especially against ISIS, that we have made tremendous strides since the beginning of 2017. They've lost most of their territory in Iraq and Syria, and they are reconfiguring their entire efforts to lone wolf jihad attacks in the West. That's bad enough, of course. That's something that we need to be very concerned about. But remember that at this time in 2015, they controlled a territory larger than Great Britain, and all that's gone.
Yeah, well, and that's good news for today, at least. And we fight for another day. Robert Spencer, The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Kevin McCullough, when we come back, a very special tribute to this very somber day.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Traffic still pretty rough in the Bronx on the southbound side of the Major Deegan Expressway. We're jammed from, let's say, Fordham Road down toward Yankee Stadium, all because of an accident being worked on. And farther south, it's a slow transition onto Willis Avenue because of construction on that off-ramp. Northbound, we're slow from 149th Street to the Cross Bronx Expressway. Westbound Cross Bronx jammed up from 3rd Avenue to the GW Bridge. Eastbound heavy off the bridge out towards Webster Avenue with the collision being cleared. On the FDR Drive, heading uptown, we're slow from the teens up into the 50s. That's all because of an accident being cleared. More delays into the RFK Triborough Bridge, but really not bad on the Harlem River Drive. Southbound at 96th Street, that's a collision being worked on. South and north on the West Side Highway or 12th Avenue, technically in that spot. It's closed between 42nd Street and 34th Street. That is all because of this activity, the Javits Center that I've been telling you about during the newscast. Southbound traffic being diverted onto 42nd Street. Northbound traffic being pushed off to 34th Street. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Another AM 970 Business Networking Breakfast is happening on Thursday, October the 11th at the Wanacue Academic Center at Passaic County Community College, right off 287. Join us for an amazing breakfast and learn how to build great business relationships during our panel discussion with Steve Adubato of PBS, featuring Mitch Modell of Modell Sporting Goods and Joan Herman, host of Conversations with Joan. Joe Piscopo and the morning team be broadcasting live 6 to 10 from the college. Register for your free tickets to the Salem Business Breakfast on October the 11th at AM970TheAnswer.com.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit, 800-786-9300. That's 800-786-9300. 800-786-9300.
Hey, what's all the racket about?
Didn't you hear? A massive project to repair the Route 495 bridge between the New Jersey Turnpike and Route 3 to the Lincoln Tunnel is starting in August. One lane of traffic in each direction will be closed for the next 2.5 years. The good news is the exclusive bus lane will remain open throughout the construction.
Visit RestoreNJ495.com to sign up for project alerts to stay informed.
This message sponsored by NJDOT, the New Jersey Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970, The Answer. Jay Sekulow live is next on AM 970, The Answer.
AM 970, The Answer.
You need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Thank you for hanging with us on this somber day. A lot of sober realities about this day. And as we've discussed this hour, I am no longer just a 9/11/2001 observer. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that the terrorists wanted to hit us again on 9/11 of 2012. And that's why we've talked a bit about that today on today's broadcast. I started a tradition back on the day of 9/11/2001 in replaying some of the sound bites and some of the scenes of that day. Eventually worked that into a montage with a song that was paired by Faith Hill, who she later did this song a few weeks later as a fundraiser for the television networks. But I've played this montage every year since 9/11, and I think it's true. I think a lot of us want justice for the wrongs done. And the message of this song, coupled with these snapshots of that day, I think helps remind us of why we need to remain vigilant. So I thought it'd be appropriate to end today's show with a re-airing of There Will Come a Day.
It is absolutely an appalling day, not only here in Manhattan, but also in Washington, where the Pentagon also was apparently the subject of a strike by one of these hijacked airliners flying bombs, really. The Pentagon still very much on fire. The damage there perhaps not as severe as it is at the World Trade Center, but clearly America is under attack.
It's not easy trying to understand how the world can be so cold, stealing the souls of men. Cloudy skies rain down on the Sometimes it's hard, but you gotta believe. There's a better place where our Father waits, and every tear He'll wipe away. The darkness will be gone, the weak shall be strong. Hold on to your faith. There will come a day.
Our police department, our fire department, and our emergency people are being stretched to the limit.
There will come a day.
I'm sure we've also lost a significant number of them.
Wars are raging, lives are scattered, innocence is lost, and hopes are shattered. The old are forgotten, the children are forsaken. In this world we're living, is there anything sacred? There's a better place where our Father waits, and every tear He'll wipe away. The darkness will be gone, the weak shall be strong. Hold on to your faith.
That the loss of life is going to be very great indeed.
Many of the important institutions here in Chicago shut down as a result of the United States terrorist acts that have occurred.
The victims were in airplanes or in their offices, secretaries, businessmen and women, military and federal workers, moms and dads, friends and neighbors.
You prepare for the worst, but you don't believe it'll happen, and this is the worst.
The way the construction workers just hung their signs outside. God bless America and pray for families and victims.
And I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us, spoken through the ages in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me.
Opinion. Passion. This is AM 970.